Let us pray. Holy God, we've heard your word. We all hear your word in different ways. But we trust that you will speak to us in a way that we need to hear and give us the courage to truly hear it and the will to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Fritz Kreisler was a world-famous violinist in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. And he earned a fortune with his concerts, but he gave much of it away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he didn't have the money to buy it. Later, having raised enough money to meet the asking price, he returned to the seller hoping to purchase this violin, but to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home, offered to buy the violin, and the collector said it had become his prized possession and he would not sell it. Keenly disappointed, Kreisler was about to leave when he had an idea. He said, "Could I play the instrument one more time before it is consigned to silence?" Permission was granted, and the great virtuoso filled the room with heart-moving music. And the collector's emotions were deeply stirred, and he said, "I have no right to keep that to myself. It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it into the world and let the people hear it." The church today is struggling. It's struggling because so many in the church see themselves as the man who bought the violin before he heard Kreisler pay for it. People are willing to keep silence. This series came to my mind as I was sitting with the other pastors and rabbis of our area, Watchung Hills Interfaith Group, in our fellowship hall. I was hosting it last January. And we were talking about the fact that people today have such a one-sided view of religion. And because of it, they don't want to be a part of it. This one-sided view, or one would say, possibly distortion, comes not necessarily from the fact that what they are hearing is wrong, but they're only getting one view of the faith. What they're often getting, what you hear on the TV, is a conservative, fundamental, literalist, judgmental view of Christianity. And for many, they cannot believe in that. And they're leaving the faith, or they're not even trying to understand the Bible and the Christian faith. And this is what we were talking about around the table. And all the others were pretty much where I'm at. This week, as an example, this week a major TV religious figure denigrated Islam by saying, "It's not a religion but an economic and political system with a religious veneer." And one of the commenters wrote, "We accuse others of our own faults. Christianity in the USA is becoming more of a political and economic system rather than religion. Look at what most of the religious leaders are talking about. Gun control, for or against, abortion, education in schools, same-sex marriage. Where is the talk about love your neighbor, forgive others, remove the plank from your own eye, do one to others?" And there are a lot of others who say, "That's why I left the church." Now, we may disagree with the commenter or those like that, but it points out that only one voice has gotten through. And that voice began in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, with the voices of groups like Moral Majority. They've become the ipso facto voice of Christianity. And many people have left. Well, they've not tried the Christian faith because of that. That's not where they're at. That's not a Christianity they can believe in. Therefore, during Lent, I will be preaching a series of sermons on how we can reclaim our voice to share our understanding of Christianity. It's just as valid as the others, or you wouldn't even be here. It's about evangelism, yes. But it's also about sharing what we believe about God and God's vision of the church and for the church. And to that end, I've titled my sermon, Go Into the World. Oh, God, not that. We have to remember that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Christ says, go into the world. Share your faith with others. Early in the play, Les Miserables, Jean Valjean has been on the run from Inspector Javert for breaking his probation. Another man is found who is thought to be Valjean, and John thinks, okay, this is my chance to get Javert off my back by letting this other man take the fall for his breaking of probation. And Jean sings the song, Who Am I? One of the most powerful songs of the play. He thinks that man is me. He knew him at a glance. That stranger he has found, this man could be my chance. Why should I save his hide? Why should I right this wrong when I have come so far and struggled for so long? If I speak, I am condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned. I am the master of hundreds of workers. They all look to me. How can I abandon them? How would they live if I'm not free? If I speak, I am condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned. Who am I? Can I condemn this man to slavery, pretend I do not feel his agony? This innocent who bears my face, who goes to judgment in my place, who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore, pretend I'm not the man I was before? And must my name until I die be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow men? How can I ever face myself again? My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. And then John appears in front of the court where the man is being tried. Who am I? Who am I? I am Jean Valjean. And he opens up his shirt. You can see the tattoo of his number from when he was a prisoner. And so, Javert, you see it's true. That man bears no more guilt than you. Who am I? 24601. Jean Valjean is a righteous man who wrestles with the demons of security and freedom. Jean Valjean is a man who recognizes the forces of good and evil both are in him. And at no time during the book, The Story, by Victor Hugo, or the musical, we get the sense, does he assume that he is saved? It's always a hope for him, but never a certainty. Archbishop Justin Welby, he's the new Archbishop of the Canterbury Cathedral and is the head of the Anglican Communion worldwide as such. While he was Bishop of Durham, he spoke on our 2 Corinthians passage, and he writes, Paul turns to the but me in 2 Corinthians and also to the but God. Remember his despair in chapter 1, which is echoed frequently in these verses? Who am I? A clay jar. So very clay, fallible, not special, prone to break, or most likely unplaced to find treasure. If anything is clay-like at present, it is the Church of England and the Anglican Communion. We are divided often savagely. We are battered. We are weak. And behind all of those things is the first but. The but me. The church is not a rest home for saints. It's a lifeboat for sinners. And when you stick loads of sinners together, perhaps especially Anglican sinners, you don't get a saintly church. But God, who is rich in mercy, is changing us and me. But God pours treasure into these jars, the treasure of God's mercy. Now, where Archbishop Welby talks about Anglicans, you can put Presbyterians, you can put any Christian church or denomination. We are not in the church because we deserve to be. We are in the church because we need to be. Who are we? We are a collection of human people who have needs, who have desires, who have wants, who have filters in our minds because of our lives. And we sin. And yes, sometimes we get it right. We cannot. We must not lord our church going, our faith, our belief over others. But we can offer a place, a time, a blessing of mercy. Jesus says to his disciples, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who's at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. This is who we are. Sinful people who come together because we need to be in community with other people. We are people, humans, who have our understandings of faith, our understandings of God. And those are imperfect because they are only ours. They've gone through our filters. And we need to come together as a community to discover a better understanding of God as we listen to each other, as we are challenged and transformed by God through each other. In that community, we come to know Christ through the Scriptures and God working through each other and through serving each other. This is the message that we need to get outside of these walls. The church invites people to come and to share their faith and to experience mercy. Some time ago, I shared with you the story of one person who was invited to church. And when he was invited, he says, I don't need the church. My faith tells me what I'm supposed to do. My faith tells me that I'm supposed to do good to other people. But the one who had invited him said, yes, but what does your faith say when you don't do good to other people, when you live and act like a scoundrel? We are humans. We sin and we come together to ask for forgiveness, to be challenged and transformed so that we might do better. Even being forgiven doesn't mean that we have the right to lord it over others. Because, you know, we'll sin again. And again. And again. And we come to this community and we experience God's grace and forgiveness over and over and over. That's who I am. That's who you are. And in God's eyes, my sisters and brothers, that's good enough. That's what the life, the teachings, the death, the resurrection of Jesus are all about. That's good enough. It's a message that we need to go into the world with. Believe me, there are a lot of people needing and waiting to hear it. They are looking for a place where they can be themselves and worship God without judgment and shame. Where they can experience grace and mercy. Because people aren't getting it in the world. Everywhere you turn, every time you turn on the radio or the TV, you're hearing about somebody judging somebody else. But we have to let them know what we believe about the church and our place in it. Will you tell them? Will you be the collector who has heard the music and said, go into the world? Amen.